You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Small town and rural communities are a big part of Wisconsin, culturally and geographically. And in those communities, the local school district can play a big role in educating the students, of course, but also as a public meeting space and a focus of civic pride.
But those school districts face a unique set of challenges, declining enrollment and difficult budget situations, leading to tough decisions about where to spend, where to cut, and even whether to merge districts.
Our next guest examines the perfect storm facing rural schools in Wisconsin. Sarah Kemp is a researcher at UW-Madison's Applied Population Laboratory, where she focuses on Wisconsin school districts. She's also a school board member for the Lakeland Union High School. Sarah, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with enrollment. What have we been seeing in school enrollment in these small town and rural districts around the state in recent years?
In recent years, we have definitely been seeing a decline in enrollment, and my research looked at both what we describe as town districts versus rural districts, but the town districts being a little bit closer to urban centers, but the more rural districts have definitely seen a dramatic decline. And they have seen close to 73% of these districts over the last 5 years have seen decreases in their enrollment.
And you project in a chart out of your recent research that trend is expected to continue for the next few years, right?
Yes. For the foreseeable future, I'm projecting that we will continue to see that decline. A large part of that is due to declining births. In the state of Wisconsin, and especially in the rural areas of Wisconsin. And so we are likely to continue to see decline.
And other reasons, aging population in these rural areas and I guess out-migration, people moving to bigger cities, is that part of it?
There are a combination of demographic shifts occurring, especially in rural Wisconsin and northern Wisconsin in particular, where there is an aging population, people who may move out young people may go off to college and may not return to their communities, as well as retirees then moving into the areas as well as a factor, as well as I mentioned, the births declining, just fewer births happening.
So talk a little bit about the impact. How does declining enrollment affect that local school?
Well, the enrollment decline really does factor in considerably to a budget for all school districts. And because the state formula for funding for budget purposes is based very strongly on enrollment, that's one of the key components that's used. And so if you have declining enrollment, you have declining funding.
And declining staff levels as well, right?
Right. So then if you have declined funding and don't have the resources to pay for your teaching staff, unfortunately, districts have to look at places where they need to cut. And when we have fixed costs like transportation and food, those are increasing over time and those are costs that have to be incurred, and so then the district has to look at other ways to do that, and one of those ways might be in teacher cuts or instructional cuts.
Talking to Sarah Kemp with UW-Madison's Applied Population Laboratory about rural school districts and small-town districts around the state, declining enrollment we've been hearing about, and we'll get more into what that does with a tough budget situation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you live in one of these districts? Do you send your kids to school there? Do you work in one of these districts? What's going on where you are? What kind of choices are you having to make? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. And Sarah, on the revenue side for the school, the money coming in, you mentioned fewer students means less school aid from the state because it's partly based on how many students are going to that school. Also, there have been some general cuts overall in school funding, and these, I imagine, are not particularly wealthy districts where the local populace can be counted on. So there's not really a plan B for the funding that's lost when enrollment goes down, is there?
No, there isn't. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion over the years, and especially the last couple of years, of fixing the funding formula. Some people feel that that is something we really need to address, especially for rural districts. And my research didn't specifically focus on the funding component of it. What I was more interested in looking at was how does enrollment and costs affect school districts, and that was really truly my focus. But funding definitely plays a part in the bigger picture.
And on the cost side, then, you mentioned earlier the concept of fixed costs. So I've got a school, fewer kids are coming, my building hasn't gotten any smaller, the cost to heat it haven't gotten any smaller, or to run a bus line. So just because there are fewer students, the costs don't really go down for a school.
Right, exactly. So if you have those fixed costs aren't going to change, regardless if you have 1,000 children in your building or 500 children. And transportation costs are talked about a lot because of the larger rural districts geographically. There is also that expense of transporting students from their home to school. So that definitely plays a factor. And so those are all pieces of the budget that that are fixed.
Well, I wanted to
or increasing.
I wanted to get some input from our listeners around the state on this issue at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Bob now in Stevens Point. Bob, hi, you're on the air.
We've got too many school districts. We've got too many school districts where when consolidation took place, they said, well, if you keep a little school in our village, we will join X. If not, we'll join Y. But some of those school districts, if you go to some of the small villages around here, they've got everything under one plant or in proximity to each other. You cannot run small school districts. Look at the administration cost. When you talk about cost of instruction, the problem isn't the cost of instruction. It's the number of students to maintain it. State mandates language. Yes, how are you going to mandate a language? The problems go on and on. Yes, busing would be up, but there are ways some of that would be overcompensated by the other. I'll hang on.
Bob, thanks a lot for bringing those issues up. So, Sarah, the argument that we have a lot of these school districts in small towns and rural areas, Bob saying too many. First of all, how many districts are we talking about? You kind of laid out the scope of where districts are and which category they fit into in your report.
Sure. So if we just are focusing on the rural school districts within the report, there's a total of 424 school districts in the state of Wisconsin, and 233 of them are classified as rural. So that is over half, 55% of the district. So Bob is correct in that, you know, there are many smaller rural districts, and so there is sometimes discussion about consolidating districts, and there are several around the state that are entering that discussion. But then also that sometimes alleviates the costs, but it also sometimes exasperates it with transportation costs increasing because now you're needing to bus a student even further because you've enlarged that geographic area of your rural school. So it depends on, of course, where those students live, but the total number is 233 districts in the rural category.
Now, this is a bit outside your research, but you do, I think, in one chart, cite some an editorial that mentions this point, that school district might be the focus for the community in a lot of ways. Maybe Rotary has their pancake breakfast there. It might be the high school sports team, the football team, the basketball team might be an object of civic pride. So a community might feel like it's going to lose something if it consolidates the control of its local school district. Is that an obstacle, you think, to people actually doing that?
Sure. I mean, I think there's definitely a balance to be had because so many buildings are community buildings, especially in rural areas. And so there is a sense of pride for many individuals in their community for their schools. And so closing schools is really an emotional activity for many areas. And so that is definitely a component of it.
Bob, thanks a lot. Brought up some good points. We'll go next to Chris in Waupun. Chris, hi.
Hello.
What do you think, Chris?
Well, my comment is just my personal opinion is where I live, it's rural, and there's local schools, smaller school districts, and it seems like as the schools make cuts, these smaller schools, more and more cuts, and now they have less programs to offer, more and more kids are just taking a school choice, and they're going to other schools because their school can't offer what they want, and it just kind of compounds, and it seems like these laws are putting these schools right out of business.
Chris, thanks for that call. And Sarah, if I recall correctly, this was a point for further research for the future that you're interested in, the impact of private schools, charter schools, vouchers for private schools on these smaller districts. Is that right?
Yes. So this particular research just focused on the public schools and did not take into consideration those other alternatives. That's definitely for future research. Just what I know, I think that there is more so those alternatives affect more is the funding and cost side of things versus the enrollment side of things, because of the location of where these choices exist for students within the state. They tend to be more focused in a suburban or urban area versus a rural area where there aren't as many alternatives.
Chris, thanks for that call. We're talking to Sarah Kemp, researcher at the UW-Madison Applied Population Laboratory. She says there's a perfect storm hitting many rural schools in Wisconsin, enrollment and funding going down along with it, costs not going down at the same time.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think needs to change to help these districts? If you live or work in a small town or a rural school district, tell us what's going on in your schools. You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation about schools in rural Wisconsin with Sarah Kemp from UW-Madison's Applied Population Laboratory.
And you can call in at 800-642-1234. Are you seeing the perfect storm in your school district? Declining enrollment, drops in funding, still high costs? And if you're in one of these small town or rural areas, how important is that local school to your community, its identity? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. So do you see, Sarah, anything changing anytime soon? You said the enrollment numbers probably going down. There's nothing in on the horizon that seems like it's going to change anything at these rural schools.
At this point in time, I don't see any evidence of an increase in enrollment. As I mentioned earlier, the births have continued to decline, largely due to the recession. We saw the birth peak in the state in 2007, and then they've been declining ever since that time. So now, many years later, now those smaller birth cohorts are now moving to school age, and so population is likely to continue to decline at least in the next 5 years.
Go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We've got Dan on the line in Menominee. Dan, hi.
Hi. I'm a educator. In fact, I'm writing a chapter in a book on Wisconsin rural education right now. I taught in a number of the rural schools, Turtle Lake, Alma Center. And my perspective is we don't value rural schools. Your rural schools are unique. They have a unique perspective. And basically what's happening is because of the we don't want to fund them adequately because they are costly, but they are unique. The rural life, is unique. But the way we want to educate kids is like, other than take Turtle Lake, for example, a school that's decreasing in enrollment, but the way we want to fund it is basically we don't care whether it's Turtle Lake or whether it's La Crosse or Menominee. We just want to fund them just like every other district, and we're erasing the rural character, the rural life of kids.
And Dan, before I let you go, I wanted to ask, how important do you think that school, you know, say Turtle Lake or whatever small district, keeping that school, not having it consolidated with a wider district, do you see that as important to the character, the identity of that place?
It is. It is. It, you know, and we're forcing these schools to basically abandon their rural identity and just basically, you know, create a standardized identity, and that's terrible. You know, these schools are the identity of the community, and it's very important for them to keep that. And the people who attended those schools, you know, have a loyalty to them, but they're just so depressed by what's happening with their school districts.
Dan, thanks a lot for that call. And Sarah, again, a bit beyond the scope of your research, I think, but one of the points Dan brought up was kind of a cookie-cutter approach. We expect a rural school to do exactly the same thing as the suburban school or the urban school that may come with costs, too. And that's one of those costs, Sarah, that probably isn't going to go down.
Sure. Yes. If we think about how rural schools were back in the industrial turn of the century, two centuries ago, and we had all these one-room schoolhouses all dotting all over the country, and it was a very different place than we are now today. But there's definitely, over the time, as both state and federal assessments and standards that have been set, there has been that way of doing education for many, many years. And so I think a lot of rural, especially individuals who study rural areas, are taking a step back and thinking about this picture as Dan just described, and that it's a very different picture in a rural area than it might be in an urban or suburban area.
Dan, thanks for that call. We're talking to Sarah Kemp. She's with UW-Madison's Applied Population Laboratory. She researches Wisconsin school districts, talking specifically about rural districts around the state, seeing declining enrollment, having a tough time meeting budgets in many cases because of that declining enrollment, and maybe having to face tough choices in some cases. Going back to your calls now with Paul in Waupaca. Paul, hi.
Yes, great conversation. I really appreciate this subject. It's just my question is why it takes so long, I guess, to understand some of the demographic changes. And I appreciate the study, but seems like we should be a little quicker to close down some of these schools, consolidate, cut some costs, especially in the administration side. I might be stating my age a little bit, but I know I went to a two-room school out in the country years ago, and that was closed down, and I went to a, you know, it was a small town yet. But we got consolidated. I'm 56 years old, I think we're just going through some of those same demographic changes now with less kids coming up behind the boomer generations. There's just not that many kids out there anymore, and I just encourage them to consolidate and cut some of that administration cost. You know, it's difficult to do, but I really think it's wise. It's what any small business would have to do.
Paul, thanks a lot for the call. Sarah, if people do agree that consolidation is the right option, this is probably not something that could happen overnight, is it?
Right. Well, and there is an argument, Rob's argument is valid in that of these 55% of the districts within the state, only 19% of the student population is in over half our districts. So there's this push and pull that's just very challenging for all districts to make really hard choices.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Annie with us in Delton. Annie, hi. Try that again. Annie, there you are. Annie, hi.
Hi. I didn't get in on all of this program, so maybe this has been addressed, but I am currently attempting to send the third child through UW-Madison. And these kids are very bright young people, but they sure struggle and end up putting in extra years at school because rural districts are so poorly prepare these kids for college. And we're going to make more cuts, and it's going to be harder to do referendums to raise more money, and we're already behind the eight ball with these kids. My daughter had a choice of 4 advanced placement courses to kind of sharpen her skills before going to college, and she's meeting kids who've had 20 and 24 choices from urban areas.
Annie, we'll leave you with the last word, highlight some of the problems that this could all lead to. And Sarah Kemp, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
That's Sarah Kemp, researcher at the UW-Madison's Applied Population Laboratory. A summary of her research on rural schools is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.